ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتح آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. In continuation with our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, we will start our today's lesson with Ayah 83, inshallah ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا. And they ask you about Zulqarnain. Say, I shall recite to you something of his story. Verily, we established him in the earth and we gave him the means of everything. From here our lesson and the new story is also starting. First thing it started with, wa. It is of atf and it means that it connects the upcoming thing with what was discussed previously. Even in English, we also say while talking that this happened and this. So we understand that this is the continuation of what we were talking previously. If someone starts talking and this happened, then immediately a question comes into mind that what happened before. So in regards to this wow, paraphrases say that this wow means that this was also in response to one of the questions of the three questions asked by Mushrikeen in Makkah, which they asked from Prophet ﷺ, and it is related with the previous story. Now people heard about the story of Musa ﷺ and Khidr ﷺ, and now about the third question of Zulqarnain. The meaning of these points to brought forward is to establish the truth of this divine revelation and to establish how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and saved his kalam. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Verily we ourselves have sent down the reminder, the Quran, and verily we ourselves will be its guardian. Wa yas'alunaka, they ask you. Who ask? Mushrikeen in Makkah. Mostly questions were asked by Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, but some questions were also asked by Mushrikeen in Makkah, and they were answered in Quran. Almost 12 questions were asked and they were answered with Yas'alunaka, from whom they ask. From Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about whom they ask? About Zulqarnain. They ask about him. People of Mecca asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that who was Zulqarnain? And the same question came into our minds too, that who was Zulqarnain? Because until and unless we know about the person, we do not enjoy the story. Mental confusion should be eliminated, right? Who he was? Quran only said about it whatever we will read in the story here, that he was a king, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him lot of means. He helped mankind in this world with all the blessings and resources Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And he left a symbol till the world exists to all the leaders that it is not necessary that worldly things can make you astray or that wealth can make you do injustice with others. He set a bar of standard and make it clear for everyone that it is not necessary that wealth is bad for you. In reality, there is no substantial evidence about who he was, but Yahud knew about him and his name was also mentioned in their books. And that's why they persuaded Mushrikeen in Makkah to go and ask about him. From Sahih narrations and from Quran, we learned that he was a famous king who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was inclined towards justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him amplitude in this world. And if you see the meaning of his name, then Z means of, and قرنين of two horns. Did he actually have two horns on his head? Or why he is called of two horns? About this we get whole lot of different tafasir.
Some said he had two swollen glands on his head,
which looked like horns. Some said since he used to rule on two edges of the world, and that's why he is being called Zilqarnain, meaning he reached till the east and west coast of the world and observed the rays of the sun. Same way, a third opinion is also passed that he had two strings of hair on his head. Qaran is also called to the string of hair, so of two strings, of two braids. Now in reality, who he was? Some say he was Sikandar-e Rumi because his conquests were extended from east to west. But paraphrasers of today say, after their research, that he was not the one, because the things Zulkarnain had, he does not have in him. Who he was and how was he, with this it does not make any difference at all. We will see all the things we find about his personality from this ruku, inshallah. And what are they? First thing, he was an obedient servant, a huge conqueror and a triumphant, whose country's boundary was extended all around. Secondly, he was the leader who made a wall on the opening of some mountains in order to stop Yajuj and Majuj. The next thing we will learn from this ruku, that he was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's worshipper and a just ruler, because he is being mentioned in Quran. He used his means not for the destruction of the humanity, but for their well-being. Now let's go along with the ayahs so we can understand him better in the light of the qualities he possessed. And if you learn from history, we do get lot of narrations knowing about someone that who he was. It does not make a huge difference. The only difference does it make is that what did he do? Since Quran's temperament is to remind and to advise, so due to that, we will also talk more about what should we do about our actions, inshallah ta'ala. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, and they ask you about Zulqarnain. Why they ask? Not because they loved asking about him, but behind this question was to prove Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's status as nothing. They wanted to put Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's nubuwwat to test. They wanted to test Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's knowledge. The way mushrikeens asked questions, there is a lesson from it too. And that is, it is not necessary. Every question asked is for the sole purpose of learning. Some questions are asked so the knowledge competency of the opponent could be judged, to find out his source of knowledge. And some questions are just to make him powerless or make him stand against the wall. That let's see how he will answer this question. Meaning some questions are asked to make the other person lose, to lower his status. And that's the way it seems here. They thought that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam will not be able to answer these questions. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? Qul, you say, سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا, I shall recite to you something of his story. I will mention it to you. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his prophet that this is what they assume about you, that you have no knowledge of it. Then I will tell you who he was. Atlu is the same we read before watlu. I will read. Alaykum minhu dhikra. Word dhikr is worth pondering over. It didn't say khabr, but was said dhikr. And dhikr is the advice in whatever is said. Tadhkir, getting advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. We also learn from it that the story is not told as to create drama, but to derive advice from it. And the best and beautiful purpose of narrating any story is that advices should be taken from it. Inna makkanna lahu fil ard. Verily, we established him in the earth. Word makkanna from makana, And from makana is makanna, to establish, to give space. And here it means dominance, meaning he was made king. By it does not mean the space given to him, but the place of his government. Where he was given space? On earth. Everybody is given space on earth. But why it came fill earth here? You did see in Surah Yusuf, when it was talked about Hazrat Yusuf's position in government, then it was said fill earth there too. It is just an average statement, but lot of hikmah behind. That no matter how big of a status or how big someone's government can be, but he still be on earth. Even now, if you see, there are thousands of countries. Some are small and some are big. But not even one country exists that is on the sky. There the government is of whom the whole universe belongs to. So it is also a point that maximum limit of whatever anyone can have is on this earth only. And if he establishes justice and peace there, then he is also helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was said that we established him in the earth and وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا and we gave him the means of everything, meaning anything and everything needed to run the government was given. He was given all the resources which can be helpful in running Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's regime in this world. All those things gave him lot of benefits and he used them to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Word sababa is from seen, ba, ba, the reason of it. So what is rope? A reason, a mean, a source to connect to people, a reason. Dictionary meaning is of rope, but source and resource which is used to achieve the goal or purpose. So here from sababa, such things were provided. By using them, he did his conquests. And which were those? That you will read as we move further along, inshallah ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him to make a wall by melting the iron. Wallahu alam, that what were the means of communication in those days as he was traveling so much and obviously he couldn't have walked. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Sulaiman alayhi salam sit on the throne and send him places. And we read all of these affairs in Quran. So it is not a big deal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave him such a mean which was in contrast to that era. And he used it for traveling from one place to another. Same way there is another meaning of sababa is also told, which will come in the next ayah, فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبَ. So he followed a way. Here not for the rope, but for the way it is used. That he followed a way. And if it is used as a resource, even then it's okay. And that he used Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's given resources. The sources and resources he had, he used them to get the things done. By reading all of this, an image of a constant traveler comes into mind. And by using means granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he achieved. Some say he was king of Iran too. Word Zilqarnain is an Arabic word. Some say the king of Yemen was also given title with Zu, like Zunnun. Same way Zilqarnain. People talked a lot about it because these kind of things get people's attention. Where it is discussed, what was the purpose of it, why it happened, and some people gathered some historic incidents, compiled a history too. But for us, it is enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him means, he used those means. And during his travel, he kept on doing work. And what was that? حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا until when he reached the setting place of the sun, he found it. Where did he find the sun? By a swamp. تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِيَةٍ setting in a spring of black, muddy or hot water. If you see the sun up close, then it seems like there is a deep place and it is setting in it. Even if we see from far, Even then, it seems like it is going down, let alone seeing it that close. It seemed like there is a muddy swamp. Hamiya is the same word which in the creation of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hamiyatim Masnoon passes before. Hama means muddy, meaning seeing up close it seemed like a spring. Here by Ainin, it can be spring or river or sea. In front of such a big sun, sea must look like a spring. And Wajada is found. It is said he kept on moving west while conquering the countries. And where it seemed like the end corner of the world, there was a spring of muddy water or sea, which seemed black from the bottom, and it felt like as if the sun is setting in the spring, and there is nothing past that. When I read these ayahs, it seemed like Zulqarnain must have arrived at a deserted place and made a wall there. Places like these help a person to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when your thinking and intentions are pure, then you feel these things beneficial for you. And by seeing this, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world so different. As we see gardens full of flowers, it gives us feeling of freshness. When you go in hilly areas, you see successions of huge mountains and feel like so isolated in that barren land. Then there are deserts and some places have sea there. When you visit different places, it just holds your heart and we cannot stop thinking in this huge universe. What is my status? I am nothing, just a small creature. And my Rabb, who is running this universe, then how almighty He will be. This is the thing you will feel repeatedly in this story, that there He is in just one corner of the world where sun is setting and found one nation there. وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا And He found near it a people. Must be some people who used to live there. Now what happened with that nation?
قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا
We, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by inspiration, O Zulqarnain, either you punish them or treat them with kindness. Now which nation was it? What happened to them? Some say that Zulqarnain conquered that place. And the way when any land is captured by anyone, then people of the land become prisoners. Now the choice was given to either murder them or make them prisoners, or do a favor upon them and set them free after taking ransom, fidya, from them. Whatever you want to do is up to you and your choice. Now hear the beautiful answer given.
قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا
He said, as for him, a disbeliever in the oneness of Allah, who does wrong, we shall punish him. And then he will be brought back onto his land. Who will punish him with a terrible torment? Hell. And
وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا
But as for him who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness and works righteousness, he shall have the best reward, that's paradise.
وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا
And we, Zulqarnain, shall speak unto him mild words as instructions. This is the character of Zulqarnain. And that's why he is known as a just ruler. When he conquered this nation, it is said that it was a place where Asia ends. And after it is a sea everywhere and converts into small, small gulfs. There he felt like sun is setting into the sea. The nation was illiterate and kafir, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him authority to do whatever he desired. But he said he will not be unjust like this. But it is said
that he used his authority to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did tabligh, called everyone toward Islam. He said, if anyone accepts Islam as a result of my tabligh, then he will be dealt with kindness. And if someone stay adamant about their old religion, then he shall face death. He will be dealt harshly. And when he will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be punished there too. This is how a good and just ruler does his dealings. When you search Muslim history, that wherever Muslim leaders went after conquering that land, they didn't just attack the place and try to make people prisoners, but they used to preach Islam to people there. When Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going for capturing the castle of Khaybar, then that's what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, that Ali, call them towards Islam first, and if they accept your invitation towards Islam, then you ought not to say anything to them and return without taking any action. Meaning, inviting them is better than killing them. Because if one person come towards Islam as a result of your invitation, then it is better for you than getting a red camel. And the reality is that if the conquerors have this attitude, then no one will hate wars. This is exactly what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did upon Fatah Makkah. Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam gave everyone chance. They were given 4 months grace period after Hajj to sort out everything. They were given chance to understand the deen. On 8th Zilhajj, Makkah was conquered. People were given grace period of a year. And when next year on 9th Hijri, they were told that if in fact you want to learn deen, then you are given 4 months for it. If you did learn, then nothing will happen to you. And if you wasted these months and didn't learn deen in these months, then you are not allowed to stay here. This is the character of the conquerors. When they capture any land, they do not become owners of the fate of the people there. It is not likable in Islam to go and capture lands by force and treat people unjustly there. But if it happened at any occasion, then instead of killing or torturing the innocent people there, it is better to invite them towards Islam. That will be, inshallah, a rahmah for that town and for the people living there. This is what happened here. He invited people towards Islam. And when people accepted the invite, they were given glad tidings. And whoever did not accept, then they will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. This tells us that kings are also concerned about people's religious affairs. They worry about what people do under their rule. They cannot say nobody will be said anything, and they can do whatever they want, and it is religious freedom. It is as simple as it is that a ruler will be questioned of each and everything about what people are doing under his rule. Although he cannot force or persuade people to change their religion, but establishing Islam in the country is his responsibility. And if he does not carry on his responsibility, then he will be dealt harshly too. Then question about setting of sun, that after seeing, where does it go? Nowadays, the means of communications are so advanced that we can say if the sun sets at one place, then it rises on another. But Sahaba Ikram could not see all of this. So at one occasion it happened that Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a man to Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu to tell where does the sun sets. What is in Torah about it? Hazrat Ka'b was a scholar of Torah. Hazrat Ka'b answered, it has to be asked from the people of Arabia. They are the knower of it. Meaning, ask from the people who know Arabic. And all I find in Torah is that it sets in mud and water and then pointed towards west. And in reality, if you see when the sun is setting, it seems like going behind the globe, if you see from a certain angle, and seems to be correct. It is said that after listening this story, Ibn Hazr said, if I would have been there, Then I would have recited some verses of Tubbah in which he, while mentioning about Zulqarnain, said, he reached till east and west because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him all kind of resources. He saw that sun sets in like a black mud. It is also said that Hazrat Abdullah said to his slave or someone else that whatever they are saying, write it down. The same way Hazrat Kaab heard the recitation of Suratul Kahf from Hazrat Abbas. And when he recited Hamiyatin, Hazrat Kaab said, Wallahi, the way I read in Torah, you recited the same way. Meaning, it is written in the same way in Torah too. So there are some things which need not to be changed as it has no benefit at all. And those things will be in Torah even today. Now a question you can ask is that people of book did do changes in their books. It was only in the orders given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they found it hard to obey and follow them. And besides that, the verses about the creation of this world, of prophets, of the day of judgment could be right as it does not affect directly on their nafs. Here Zulqarnain's first expedition was over. And for us, the lesson to be learned here is, of course, it is not possible that we earn a leadership of a country and reign on the people there. But it opens an opportunity for each one of us. Because Prophet ﷺ said, each one of you is a rai upon your family, upon your people. So in that respect, people close to us, we could invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And it is not out of ordinary that people might benefit from it too, inshallah. Here another thing paraphrases discussed on. Qulna, we said. People ask that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Zulqarnain himself. That's why then sometimes people think that he was in fact a prophet. Because only prophets are addressed. So paraphrasers answered, it is not necessary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have told Zulqarnain through revelation or divine inspiration, so we know that he is a prophet. Sometimes it is not necessary to be told, but circumstances are created as such, so it is evident. So it is quite possible that this might have occurred in his conscience, that this is time of your test. If you want to exercise injustice, you have the authority and power to do it. And if you do justice, it is absolutely in your hands. It is with every single soul that they struggle with their conscience, whether I should do it or not. And we should pay attention to such voices. And whoever listens to such voices will be able to avoid doing injustice. And whoever refuses to listen to their inner voice, then they are seen doing injustice in this world. We also learn from here that Zulqarnain's faith about the Akhirah was correct. And that's why he said that he can leave them, but they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow, meaning at the day of judgment. And وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءَنِ الْحُسْنَى But as for him who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness and works righteousness, he shall have the best reward, that's paradise. Because of this, people consider him as a Muslim ruler. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا If you put number two here, then inshallah it will be clear for you. There are three different trips in the whole story in regards to Zulqarnain. First we completed and now it is the second one we will see inshallah. And now he is traveling towards another country. And what happened? حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِن دُونِهَا سِتْرًا Until when he came to the rising place of the sun, he found it rising on the people for whom we, Allah, had provided no shelter against the sun. كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. So it was, and we knew all about him, meaning Zulqarnain. This is his second journey, and it was towards east. As he arrived there, during his continuous winning conquest, where civilized world finished and wild uncivilized world started. And people didn't seem to have the need to even build houses. They had tents to protect themselves from the rays of the sun and rain. They keep on moving and changing places, or they stay in the caves of mountains. They were capable of tolerating the heat of the sun and rain, and some of them were even free of clothing too. See, we have seen such a limited world, and within this we will see several colors. But who knows how many people are there we have not seen? Even if you see documentaries, you will see where media could reach, till where cameras could go or people could go. But it is not a big deal that still there are people in this world where no cameras could spot, hidden in corners of the world. And when they do not have means, no factories or other facilities, then what will happen? Obviously, the rest of the needs will not be met either. The way animals live in the jungle, people live there too. The same scenarios seem like here too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word kazalik. Some say why word kazalik was used. It has two meanings. One of it is that no matter whatever the historians write about Zulqarnain, but the reality will be whatever we have written. We know what circumstances Zulqarnain faced and what he had with him. The other meaning of kazalik is that he dealt with them the way he dealt with the people of West. Right? When he went to West, the way he dealt with them, he had the same attitude towards the people of East too. Meaning invite people towards Islam. Just kazalik and comma after. And he did whatever he did before. Invite the people to Islam. Taught them the teachings of Islam. The people who retaliated and disobeyed were dealt strictly, and whoever was obedient were dealt with kindness. What do we learn from it? That whoever is a just-minded person, wherever he goes, he will deal everyone with justice there. They do not have different rules, regulations and principles for different places. That if they go to West, they will have a different attitude, and if they go to East, they will have a different attitude. They are beneficial everywhere. We learn the same in detail in Hazrat Yusuf's story, that the people who are Mohsin, they have the same attitude even if they are in jail. They have the same attitude when they are rulers or slaves. This is considered someone's huge quality, that he acts the same no matter where he is. We need to evaluate ourselves in the light of this, that what is our criteria? Do we act differently? Is our dealing different with our family and different with others? Why we feel embarrassed if someone else finds us dealing with our families? Because we have two different tones, two different attitudes. A good person is who does not have too much to remember. He has everything in front of him. And in contrast, if someone is living a fake livelihood, then he has to remember so many things. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا فأتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجدها تغرب في عين حمئة ووجد عندها قوما قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما أن تعذب وإما أن تتخذ فيهم حسنا قال أما من ظلم فسوف نعذبه ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا وأما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى وسنقول له من أمرنا يسرا ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا كذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرا ثم أتبع سببا